Good morning, everyone. Can you hear? You can hear? You sure? Every Sunday we come, we hear a lots of things, like Christianic songs, hymns, prayers, scripture reading. We hear a lot, but are we actually hearing what God wants you to hear? So today, reverse way. Sometimes God needs us to walk back. So the topic today is here. For us, okay, reading English, we might not be that sensitive about this topic here. But yes, by the very beginning already, I'm going to go through Hebrew, okay? The origin language of our Holy Bible. All right? So for this word, here, in Hebrew, it's actually Shema. Can you repeat with me? Shema. Shema, what's that? What does that mean? You might have heard that before. It's actually the core value of Jewish. So it's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Which verse do you know? Chapter 6 and 6, 7? No, 6, 4. Actually, 6, 4. All right. So this story is talking about you heard something, and then you have your feeling, your response, and then you react. That's exactly what I am going to share with you today. It's about your response. So the here is not just talking about the information you receive, but how you respond. When we talk about Joshua chapter 9, okay, I have to say that in advance. Be very honest. This chapter is totally different to the other chapters of Book of Joshua. Book of Joshua is an amazing book. Okay, a lot of like battlefield wars. You see the tension between human and human, all right? But not in chapter 9. I have to tell that in advance. And also, not only. In chapter 9, I can tell you won't find those superhero big stars, okay? Like if we talk about Noah's Ark, everyone should know about who is Noah. Or when we talk about like Moses, okay, Exodus, we all know about Moses. But for today, what I'm going to tell is three groups of people, very down-to-earth, random people. So you might find, what's worth reading of this book? That's exactly what I want to share. Like in your family. This time I'm looking on this side, more parents. So you instruct your kids to tidy up their room, okay? Can you hear me? So they will respond. Oh yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, no problem. 1 week later, same room, okay? As messy as before. Another week, you try to tell them again, can you please tidy up your room, okay? I can't even step in. Yeah, okay, no problem. They heard that. But they take no action at all. So that's exactly the case. You see, here comes the book of Joshua. It's an amazing book, but not in chapter 9. You won't see like this kind of test of faith, how you step into a flooding river, testing your life, whether the water will come back at that time and then wash you away, like that bird fall into London Bridge, or else. This book, not only nothing about the test of faith, and you can see like the image of a super leader or superhero standing on the top of the mountain talking to God face to face, that are you going to help us, the Israelite, or help our enemies? No, it's not. What chapter is it? If we're talking about chapter 5, right? And also, Book of Joshua, good book. We have a lot of miracle in there, like the high wall, 6 meter thickness. Jericho, right? Chapter 6. You worship, praise, march around it. How many laps? Do you remember how many laps? Not 7. 7 plus 6. How many laps? Oh yeah, 13, right. 13 laps, and then the high wall collapsed. But we won't see this kind of miracles in chapter 9. And we can't even see how if AI or, putting a spy into the other army, how's the battle of the war? No, we won't see all these. We won't. And I tell you one very important thing. This is the only chapter that you can't even see God. Yeah, God is not even showing up in this chapter. It's talking about three groups of people, how they have conversation, intervene with each other. So there's the book. All right, I have already prepared your mind, okay? So you have to fix your cushion, your pillow, your blanket, okay, for a peaceful sermon. Not falling asleep, God's word is lively. So here comes the scripture of the book. We have already spent minutes heard about how's the book talk about. So what we can say is this book is talking about a group of people. They are the kings. Not only one. We all know the seven tribes of people live in land of Canaan. So there should be seven kings. Try to fight against Israelites, fight against Joshua. But actually not. In this book, you can see, not this book, but after chapter 9. So what chapter is after chapter 9? Can anyone remind me? Amazing. How do you know that? Yeah, there's 10. After 9 is 10. Yeah, you're right. So chapter 10 is trying to tell us that Joshua is fighting against five kings. How come five kings? Because one group of the people, they are frightened and run away. Another group of people try to join. You can't beat them, you join them, okay? LeBron James theory. No, sorry. I mean, no offense. But yeah, here comes a group of people trying to join the Israelites, join their army, because I know I can't defeat you. I knew that. Let's jump into the message. I tried to cut the whole chapter, 27 verses, into three points. The first point is talking about the kings. What happened to the kings? You see the red verse? They heard something. Second group of people, the Gibeonites. Gibeonites? Who's Gibeonites? People who live in a city called Gibeon. They are Gibeonites. All right? So this group of people, they also heard something. And they respond. The third group of people, Israelites, they also discover something, all right? According to different translation version of Bible, we might see the verse like listen, hear, or discover. Like right here. In English, you might see different verse. But in Hebrew, they are actually the same word. Shema. So today we're talking about how you respond. It's just like our religion. As a Christian, in our life, we're facing the world. There's so many different voices. We receive so many different informations. We might have feeling. Some of the information, like these three groups of people, that might stun you, that might shock you. Horrible, terrible messages they receive. But the point is, how do you make choice and how do you respond? So here comes the first group of people, the kings of the land of Canaan, the kings. How do they respond? According to the Bible verse, like what I say, the kings heard something. Not only one, but six of them. Okay, you don't need to count. Let me tell you, the six of them. Because one group already ran away. But you can see here, the Hittites, they live in a city, not only one city, but they live in cities. One of the city called Gibeon, they react a different way. But let's first look at the other five kings. According to verse number 2, these kings, they try to gather together with one accord. Don't feel about every time we talk about in one accord is in a positive way. Even fighting against the truth is a kind of in one accord. That kind of unity, try to fight against the true God, the only God, also in one accord. So what happened to them? Why are they doing that? You heard something. What did they hear? What did they hear? There's a big army, very strong and powerful. They have a God, the Almighty One. They're going to kill us all. What should your response be? All right, so should we go back for mercy? Because we not only know this God is almighty, powerful as fire, but we also know this God is of mercy. But they choose another way. They fight against. Why they fight against? There's a message. That's the truth. If that's the truth, if you believe so, this is the truth, that you sin, I come, I will kill you. Your response fight against is only because of one reason. Because you don't think so. Because you don't believe so. The five kings respond exactly the same way. Like the computer is not responding me. Oh, right. It's not believing so. Thank you. Should I pray? God, control it, not me. Amen. Oh, it's moving. All right. And now the second group of people, Gibeonites. All right, they also heard something. What did they hear? According to the Bible, they also fear, they terrified about Joshua with the Israelites. Big army marching closer and closer to us. And some cities have already been defeated. So we can be the next, right? We can be the next. But what have they done? I mean, this group of army, what did they do to the other city? That's exactly what they, is it battery issue? They respond a different way because they believe so. Okay, we're going to die. Save our life first. It's about live or death. Save our life first. So they respond a different way. So what do they respond? They try to do it in this way. They heard about this army. But I'm not testing you this time. Before chapter 9 is chapter 8. Okay, chapter 8, three different verses telling us that the Israelites, they kill all the people in Jericho and Ai. Okay, and they're going to do this to our city as well. And not only killing all the people, verse 28 is talking about they burn the cities into ash. And also, verse 29 talking about they kill the king and hang the king on the tree. I don't want that happen to me, my people, and myself. Try to avoid it. So they have a plan. What's their plan? Do you know what's their plan? They plan to dress up. It's not because of Halloween. They have to pretend to be people from far, far away. You know, it's the culture. Back in that generation, in Middle East, sending spy into a group of people is very common. We can tell, I mean, like in Exodus, Moses sent 12 people, spies, into Canaan, spies. Also, Joshua sent 2 spies into Jericho, right? So this is the culture. I mean, most of the army will do this kind of thing to collect information. So it's not difficult for us to imagine that the Gibeonites, they also send spy, or different other people, they send spy into this group. And they all understand about the teaching of Moses. So they all know one thing, that the God is not going to make covenant with anyone inside land of Canaan. They knew that. So they have to pretend, they have to add that they're not from here, we're from far, far away. So that's their plan. Their plan is to pretending to be envoys, to make covenants with this group of people. And they're not only doing that, but they are also They have to plan a lot. The point is they have to plan a lot. Because Joshua and the Israelites are not going to believe you. So what they have to do is not only act, but writing script. And we need good director to make them believe. This is how they look like. Exactly how they look like. Even the trolley is in the Bible scripts. Oh, really? Is it a Hastings one or the Korean grocery shop one? Korean grocery shop one easier to take. You don't need to put coin in. But how can these be in the Bible verse? Imagine about that. We have read through the scriptures. So we try to make it fast and make it simple. Have a look. So they put all things, not only on their body, dressing up, but they also bring along with their trolley. That's the donkey. Imagine if you're going for a business trip, a mission trip. Going to, where are we going? Surrey, okay, Surrey. And I won't carry with a 32-kilogram luggage, right? So they have to bring along with a donkey, carry with a lot of wear-out thing. To make sure you can read this message that I am from far, far away. And also the food, dry and moldy, all right? And the script goes like that. We heard about how powerful you are and your God is, how powerful. What did they mention about? They mentioned about how they fight Egypt. And also before they cross the Jordan River. Why is that? Because we are from far, far away, right? That's what we say. 40 years ago thing. They're talking about 40 years ago you fight Egypt. I know that. Powerful. I'm not talking about the last week, yesterday thing. Because if we come from far, far away, it should not be possible that we heard so many recent information. And now here comes their drama. How do they try to make covenant with the Israelites? They beg for that in three different levels. They try to downgrade themselves. We can read that from this way. The first thing come, we're from far, far away. Make covenant with us. And then Joshua answer, okay, right. So where do you come from? If you come from like this area, we can't make covenant with you. We cannot, okay? How do they answer? They are not trying to answer this question. But first thing we have to understand, when making covenant, it's talking about me and you in an equal position. We are brotherhood, okay? So you're in trouble, I get your back. But when I am in trouble, you get my back. So the Gibeonites respond like this, let us be your servant, okay? I don't need equal position. I beg for that, okay? Let me be your servant. And then the third time, they try to say a word, they are talking about what? We are already your servant. I assume that you accept that, okay? They try to downgrade themselves. No matter what, I want to make covenant with you. I don't mind to be the woodcutter or the water carrier. I don't mind to massage, not your shoulder, your feet, every day, seven times. I beg for mercy. At the moment, you can see that, right? How can the Israelites and Joshua fall into the trap because the DNA in their blood is from Adam and Eve. It's about the food. They actually receive some food, the gift, from them. Okay, their provision. But what I wonder is, what food can they provide? And what can catch the Israelites' eyes? We just mentioned about what food they bring, right? The dry and moldy bread. Excuse me? But anyway, it is what it is. God makes use of every scenario. No matter it's a beautiful sin or the awful sin, God makes use of that into his plan. Let the plan execute. Even the food is moldy. So now comes to a situation that we have to face. Like there are so many voices from the outside world talking about our religion, okay, you're a Christian. That people might have a conversation with you. I had that a lot. You know, I was an athlete, okay? So in my team, national team. So I am the only Christian, because none of them try to believe in any of the godness. How they feel as religion is only for the weak. It's a privilege for the weak. It's a tool for the weak to make use of, to make yourself more comfortable. I tell you what, I admit that I am weak. That's why I need the cross. I need the salvation. But this is how we also try to think about these Gibeonites. Ai falls. Jericho falls. So the next one, Gibeon. So Gibeon must be also like a really weak city. Actually not. As what I mentioned, it's plural, not singular. The Hivites, they are not living in one city, but at least four. I don't know, is it only four, but at least four. The four cities are like that. You see, green mountain, water source, a good land. In this generation, in Big 2-5, we might see that. I have to see underneath whether you have petrol, oil underneath or not. Then I can define, is it a good land? But imagine in their generation that I can raise lives. I can plant. It's already a good land. So it's totally different to the other land in Canaan. Totally different. It is like this. And also, not only this dimension. I'm trying to tell you that the Gibeonites, they don't need to do that because they are powerful. They have so many warriors. They have their armies. So according to the Bible verse, not chapter 9, but after. How come after? Because like according to the story spot, Joshua leading with the army, Israelites, they keep marching forward, looking for where to fight next. 3 days after, they see a city. Like the picture, like the backdrop, good city. We can take this. But they see the one they just made covenants with, wave and say hi to their family. They are actually neighbor, live very, very close. They're not from distance. And also, look at this Bible verse. Very important one. Very, very important one. Chapter 10, verse number 2. So the verse says, Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. For those who need to worry about should not be them. They are tough and strong. But they make their choice. You know the reason why they make this choice? Because they believe. So here comes the third group of people. Wow, it's going to be fast today. The third group of people, Israelites. So what did they hear? They heard something, they respond. They take action. We know this group of people, they follow the step of their God, the only God, for years. They know what will happen. So for sure, they obey, they submit, they follow the steps. But this time, they get in big trouble. Joshua in big trouble. 3 days after, they finally discovered Shema, that this group of people is just nearby. They are neighbor. They are from Canaan. We should kill them. We should not make covenant with them. Terrified. They feared. The only reason of their fearness is God. They fear about God. They are not fearing about any other thing. So what they choose to do is to follow the instruction of God. Let them live. But they still have their temper, anger, their emotion from inside, right? That's why even they fear about God, let them leave. Joshua still cursed them. You're cursed from now on. Your descendants will serve as woodcutter and water carrier for the house of my God. Okay, here we need to spend some time. We need to spend some time. Why become the woodcutters and water carriers of the house of my God? will be the worst curse. Why would that? They can instruct them to do so many different things. Why Joshua, at that moment, I curse you. When I curse you, I have to think of the worst thing, right? Otherwise, I'm not cursing you. So why servicing in as a woodcutter and water care? Okay, it can be in your house or my house. Help me to massage my feet. Think about that generation. Where do they need the most wood and water? The altar. Imagine every day how many animals they burn. And they need to wash the animal. This is actually a burden. It seems like a curse, but actually, look at the verse. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. How come it's a blessing? I make sure that you have your offspring. I make sure that you can live. And you're going under us. For Joshua, for Israelites, or even for at that moment when they hear the Gibeonites, they feel that it's a curse. But in God's planning, it's not a curse. It's a blessing. So here comes the three groups of people. For the Israelites, they also heard something, they fear, and then they respond. We might feel that because they believe, like the other two previous groups. One group not believe, they try to fight against, and they're done. One group believe, and what about them? They not only believe, more than believe. Because they know, they knew that. They understand about the character of God and the power of God. All right, here comes the three groups of people. Jump to the summary. These three groups, they share the same thing. They heard about terrifying message. They have their feeling, and then they make choice, response with action. So that's how they feel. They fear. Some of them try to fight. Some of them use their way to do their plan. So the very important part is whether you believe or not. We're talking about Shema. Go back into Joshua chapter 3, verse 23. It's talking about curse. It's not only talking about curse. It goes this way. Imagine, after the Sunday service, we go for lunch. We go together. Better example of family. Okay, when you have a lunch, your wife sit by your side, talk to you like this way. Honey, I find myself getting some weight recently. I check the mirror, I find myself choppy. Okay, for those who try to mark down the notes about the sermon today, mark this down as well. Very important, okay? It's about life or death. The first thing you have a response, no, I can't tell. No, you're not. Gain no weight. You look exactly the same. You look good, all right? And then your wife trying to give you instruction. The instruction is, the next time when you see me eat before the meal start, remind me, don't eat that much. And choose the healthy food to eat. Would that be okay? So the husband should forever respond like, yeah, perfect, sure, we'll do that. The next meal, you see your wife start to eat. You remember the thing, okay? You have that fear inside. How do you respond? Will you remind her, Herman? Will you? Oh, courage. Okay, right. So you see, it's about choice making. It's about choice making. The Israelites, the Gibeonites, and also the kings, they receive message, they have feeling. They all have that. So today, to finish with, I want to share with you a story. Don't ask me whether I get her consent or not. Okay. So a story about someone who heard, was terrified, and chose to obey. Sometimes God tries to talk to you, all right, and terrify you. And your first response is, me? No way. You try to avoid, you even try to fight against, run away. But some people, they actually do. They're being afraid, but they choose to obey. They are not fearless, but they make this choice. They choose to respond with the truth, with faith. So today's story is about that. I know a sister. So this sister experienced something that I'm hard to imagine in her early life. So, yeah, in her very young age, she got pregnant before marriage. So she feared about that, how to face the family, okay? And also, what about the society? There's so many different voices from the world. What about her future? So she feared. But the point is, she think of God allowed this to happen. There must be a purpose. So she choose to submit, to obey, and to follow. By God's grace, she later married with a man who really loved her, and they have their own child. But the unlucky thing is, this husband passed away a few years later. So this lady have to raise these kids all by herself. For most of people, it's a curse. But she choose to obey because she still have faith in God, have a purpose in all these things. Things keep happening. One of the sons of her is not quite common, normal, all right? Have his own thoughts, have his own path to choose, to do what he thinks is right. Bringing actually a lot of worries, I won't say trouble, to this mom. And then what? And then this mom still believe God must have a higher plan on this boy. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. Because she hang on and prove that. In human's eyes, it's suffering. But in God's eyes, it's all blessing. At the end, this child is not becoming a doctor or engineer. He's not even doing the job of his father as a carpenter because he crucified on the cross for you and for me. You and me also know the name of this sister. Her name is Mary. The one who has been blessed by the angel, the highly favored. She moved from fear to the out of God to obey. From fear to obedience. So today, what if God tried to talk to you? After service, a pastor go by your side, tap your shoulder, and then invite you to service in the church, becoming one of the church leader. You might try to run away, you might be terrified. But if God actually tried to talk to you, try to pray, try to listen, you might have your feeling. But the most important part is how you respond. Will you try to respond to God that what we learn from Mary? May your will be done. And may God's words bless you all. Thank you.